Well, the word's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Forgive me for the frog that attacked me while I was singing. You got to remember that I am not a worship leader pretending to be a pastor. I am a pastor pretending to be a worship leader. And sometimes it comes out to the surface as, that's right, he's a pastor, not a worship leader. But thank you for just going along with us and doing what we got to do. Till the Lord raises up a worship leader here, I'll do it. Praise God. And he will, praise God, just like he's going in South Dayton. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. God is good. I'm excited for the word. You know, I do want to say before we get going, because when utterance and things come up out of my heart, it's important for me to obey that. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as the day gets closer to Jesus coming back, we should gather more and more. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's happened during this pandemic is it's kept people out of church. And, you know, so many times, and I understand people have to walk out their own salvation, follow their own hearts, but just know this, the will of God is that we be in church together, the word says. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, as his custom was, went into the synagogue. Jesus had good church habits, you know, and I just want to just say this, of course, I'm preaching to the choir here, but to let anyone know that's watching, of course, we encourage you, follow your heart, but just know this, the enemy wants to keep you out of the house of God. There's something about, Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, he said, I long that I would see you, that I might impart some spiritual gift unto you. And so there's a transaction, a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep that you can't get from home on live stream. And so I want to just encourage you and also let you know, we've made it a safe place here. We have the seats spaced out. We're requiring people to wear masks from the time they come on the property until they sit down. We're not fellowshipping after. We're making every effort for people to feel comfortable to come. You know, not everybody's faith is at the same level, and that's okay. We want people to know this is a safe place. So just know this, that if you're in fear and you're just staying away, I mean, this could go on for a long time. You can't afford to miss out on what God has for you. And also, let me say this. I appreciate people that are still bringing their young children. You might think, well, we can just stay at home and it's easier. Listen, people didn't receive in the word when things were just easier. Sometimes we have to make sacrifices. And just so you know, me as the pastor, I understand bringing young children that would normally be in children's church and nursery. It's not easy. It's not simple. But when they're in this atmosphere, they're being watered by the word of God. And that will show up. My goodness, it'll show up in a harvest. But also, just know this, we're patient. And we're all patient with everybody. We've put TV downstairs in the fellowship hall. If you need to step out with your child, we've got those children's packets for you to do. Also, there's a mother's room. So I want to encourage people, don't just say I'm staying home because I have young children. You need to be in the house of God. In the old days, in Brother Hagin's days, they didn't have nursery and children's church. Everybody was in the service together, and they made it. Praise God. They were blessed. So I want to encourage people that don't think you're bothering us by bringing your child. We're patient. It might take a little extra work on your part, but it's worth it to do what the Word says. Amen? So really what I'm saying is there's no reason not to come. We've made it safe, praise God, and we're going to be patient with you, and we're making do with you. So know this, and you have to understand, you always want to funnel your thoughts and feelings through the Word of God. That's what keeps us safe from our thoughts and our feelings. What does the Bible say? Praise God. So we encourage you. Hopefully you'll come back. Hopefully we'll see you all again real soon. But just know God has something for us here that you can't get at home by live stream. So with that being said, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you want to open them to the book of Romans chapter 12, of course, I sent out the slick text today, giving you a little bit of a preview. I'm just so thrilled. You know, the Lord had put a sermon on my heart for what we're going to talk about next week. I thought we were doing it this week, but then in prayer, knew that I was to extend this 2 weeks, make it like a mini series, and it'll be just such a blessing. I'm just so excited for these next 2 weeks of growth to help us to get where God wants us to go. But let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we need your help tonight. We're not here to hear from a human being's ideas, philosophies, opinions, theories, feelings. No, we need the Word. The Word is our help. And so, Father, I know how you do it. We see it in the Bible. You use people to deliver your message, to carry out your plan. And Father, I've waited on you all day. I've sought you. I show up as prepared as I would know to be, Father. So Lord, use me. Speak through me tonight that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, I thank you will hit bullseyes in every person's heart. And what I mean by that is, Lord, you're going to say something that's going to be specific and pertinent to every single person's situation, circumstance, and what they're going through in life. And Father, this is our help. This is our opportunity. This is our chance for change. And so, Lord, we thank you for what's going to happen. We thank you for impartations, revelations, encouragement, and correction if need be. We give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Romans 12 and verse 3. I'm going to read this verse here. I'll just read it right now. But it says, For I say though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, you know, if you're part of my churches for very long, we are faith churches. What do I mean? We pump faith into you. Why? Because it's necessary. It's how we please the Father, the Bible says, right? Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible if we are the ones that can have faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, the way we overcome is by faith. The way we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one is by faith. So all these things, reasons, there's more, but just for time's sake, we won't go into all of them. That's why we preach faith. It's our part on the earth. It's what our job is to do. We need to excel in our role and in our job. And you know, we've talked about this and we've seen this since this pandemic. The Lord has had me preach a lot on faith and our responsibility to build ourselves up, because we're in a world that's proven to us it's going to throw us some curveballs. We're in a world that is run by the devil. Satan is the god of planet Earth. That's why things are in a mess. And the answer to overcoming the world is faith. Not pastor's faith, not Brother Hagin's faith, not Pastor Nancy's faith. Your own faith. Whether or not you receive, whether or not you overcome, whether or not you quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, has to do with your faith. So that's why we're preaching this, because we need faith in our personal lives. We can't afford to be without it. But also, and this will translate into next week's message, it'll be personal and kingdom next week, but the kingdom of God needs your faith. I mean, if you think that I can do this by myself, you're sadly mistaken. We see in the book of Acts that James couldn't do it by himself. He needed the faith of the people and the prayers of the people, praise God. Hallelujah. To pay this building off, we need you to be believing God for money. To do what God's called to do, we need you to be believing God for the move of God, for the miracles, signs, and wonders. You need to bring your faith to the kingdom of God. And so we can't go without faith, personally and the kingdom. We just can't do it. So the Bible says here that God has dealt. Notice it says has dealt. That's past tense. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Do you see that there? Notice this. God already did it. He already dealt it out to people. And notice this. The Bible says that it is a measure of faith. Well, you know by how God is and what the Word says about no respecter of persons, that the measure that He gives each person is the same. Amen? We have been given a measure of faith. That tells me that faith must be measurable. Now, again, don't go by what, hey, Pastor Mike thinks that must be measurable, it must be measurable. No, the Bible will back that up. Amen? Scripture will back that up. But faith is measurable. Why do I say that? Or why am I pointing that out? Because think about when when I make in the morning, my daughter loves chocolate chip pancakes. It seems like it's an everyday thing. I think it's the way she can get to chocolate chips. I'm not sure it's the pancake she's after, but the chocolate chips. She wants one every day. And I'll make her one, and I'll dump that mix, you know, into a bowl for her, and I've got it now where I can just eyeball it. No, that's about how big the pancake's going to be. But I don't use that same measure if I'm also eating pancakes with her. If Caleb, that kid only eats grilled cheese and that's about it. Peanut butter and jelly. It's a pretty short list. Pancakes are not on the list. But if Court were to have it or if other people were to come, how many of you know the measure would be different? But in those different measures, what do you find? You have lesser measures. You have greater measures. So if faith is also measurable, we will see in the Word that different measures of faith, there'd be smaller measures of faith and larger measures of faith. I want to show you this in the Word to back that up real quick, but the point is we want to have a large measure of faith. Because the people in the Word where they pointed out that they had a larger measure of faith, they're the ones that got things done and accomplished, that saw the miracles, signs and wonders. You know, I prayed as I got done with that wonderful, eloquent worship that I led you in tonight. I was praying that God desires to show himself strong in your life. But notice the Bible says, to those, it goes on in that verse, it says, to those whose heart is perfect towards him. Now, a perfect heart towards God is a believing heart towards God. Because the person that it was referencing there was somebody that at one time had faith in God, then didn't have faith in God, and God was handcuffed from delivering them like he had done before. And now God is saying, listen, I'm not helping you here, not because I don't want to, not because I can't or I'm unable. I need somebody who has a faith heart for me to move in their life. Amen. And so we got to make sure that we have a faith heart and we see the people that operated in this larger measure of faith, they got great victories. We need great victories, don't we? Well, just real quick, there's some of these I'm going to have us look at, have them pull up on the screen, and other ones I'll just read. You can write down for time's sake because I believe there's about 10 references, but we're not going to look at all those, so don't be nervous. We're not going to be here forever. But Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, I'm just going to go there real quick and read these. But notice here it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. What's in his way? A big mountain, a big trial, a big problem. Well, what does he need? He needs a big victory. He needs a big answer, praise God. And so the Bible says that he was grievously tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, he goes. Another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great. Everybody say great. Great faith, no, not in Israel. So what this guy brought to this big problem, this big adversity, this big mountain, he brought great faith. And what happened? He got a great victory. His servant that was at home, grievously tormented of the devil, was healed that selfsame hour, the Bible says. That word great there in the Greek, if you look that up, means large in quantity. What's that sound like? A measure. We need to have great faith. One of the measures of faith is great. And great faith accomplishes great things. Go to Matthew 14 and verse 25. Matthew 14 and verse 25. This was when Jesus, walking on the water, you know, scared the disciples. The Bible said in the fourth, he wasn't meaning to scare them. He wasn't playing peekaboo with them or something here. They just got scared. They saw the guy was on the water. Jesus, the fourth watch of the night, went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, for they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered, said to him, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come on the water. And Jesus said, come on. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said to him, now notice this. Remember, the centurion had great faith of large quantity. And Jesus said to Peter, oh, you of little faith. Now think about this. Little and great are two different measures. When I make Abby a pancake, I dump a little of the mix in. When I make me and other people ones, there's a greater amount in there. But notice the difference. With the man that had great faith, great things happened. With the one that brought little faith, now notice what's interesting. Both situations had Jesus present. The walking, talking manifestation of God was with the centurion and was with Peter on the water. But yet one of them had a great victory and the other one sank. And it had nothing to do with Jesus. Had everything to do with Peter sank because he had little faith. The centurion had a great victory because he had great faith. Praise God. Notice that anywhere that Jesus went, the power was the same. The willingness was the same. The ability was the same. Remember when he went, I try to drill this into people. Because someday, maybe it's now, but someday, knock, knock, who's there? There's hell staring at you at your front door. In all its scariness, manifesting different things with your children, your relationships, your finances, your body. And you're going to need faith. And you're going to need to operate in faith. And so many people are just religiously brainwashed. I love God. I'm a moral person. I try to love my neighbor as thyself. And you just think all, and he's saying, that's not faith. That's not faith. I need you to have faith. It didn't say, take the shield of loving your neighbor to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, that goes along with it. You need love. Don't misunderstand me. But faith is what we're shooting for here. And if you remember, I always bring this up. I like to just repeat, I can beat a dead horse better than anyone. I can do it, man. I'll tell you, you be with me long enough, you'll say, that guy is a professional dead horse beater. Yes. Yes, whatever. I don't know how you say that. But anyways, that you're going to say he majored in that in school, Bible school. But think about this. Mark 4, he goes to the other side. What's he do? He rebukes the wind and the sea with faith. What's he do? He gets over to the other side, and what happens? He casts the demon out of the Gadarene demoniac. Then what happens? On his way, they come back over the other side, and what happens? Someone from Jairus comes and says, my daughter's at the point of death at home. He says, I'll come and heal her. And then he's on his way. And what's he do? He runs into the woman with the issue of blood. What happens to her? She gets healed, praise God. What happens to Jairus' daughter? She gets raised from the dead. Mark 4 and Mark 5, amazing moves of God. And we get to Mark chapter 6, and the Bible says Jesus there could do no mighty work. Well, why couldn't he do any mighty work? The Bible tells us he marveled at their unbelief. Unbelief will make you sink in life. And the whole time, isn't it amazing? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You can have God with you. You can have God on your side. You can have God for you. And if you don't operate in faith, down you go. Jesus was in both situations. He says, Peter, you're not going to the top here, and you're not getting over this problem because you have little faith. So there we see it can be measured. Now, you don't have to turn there, but remember what Jesus said in Luke 12:28. I'll just read it. If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field, tomorrow's cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? There it's measured again. Go with me to Acts chapter 6 in verse 5. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Measurable. If it's measurable and God's dealt us a measure, we better do something with that measure. Acts 6 and verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Well, same thing. You look at this bottle of water. There's a measure of water in this, isn't there? This is full of water. You could dump half out and it'd be half full. You could dump it all out and it would not have any water in it. So if a person can be full of faith, they also can be void of any faith. Amen? Thank God he was full of faith. Well, I want to have great faith and I want to be full of it. When people say, Pastor Mike, you're full of it, I want to say, yes, I am. I am full of it, full of faith, praise God. And they've said it before, but they don't know. I agree with them. I totally agree with you. I'm full of it. You're right. Romans 4:19, just kind of going in order here to make it easy on you. Romans 4:19, these will just be the last places that we'll go and turn to. We got other things to mention, but I will mention some of the other references, and you can just write them down. But Romans 4:19 talks about Abraham. It says, and being not weak in faith. You know what that word weak means? Feeble. He says Abraham wasn't weak in faith, but he was mentioning that you can be weak in faith. What's weak? It's a measure. It's a measure. It's measuring your, it's, it, if you know, you remember Price is Right there, the mountain climber. Does everybody remember the mountain climber game? That's the song. No, you know, he goes up the hill and there's different measures of amounts there, right? That's what it is. And that's, if you were to look at that chart and that little mountain climber going up, you'd see in the beginning, you'd see there's little faith, there's no faith, there's, then it gets into great faith and full of faith. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we don't want to have weak faith, but then it goes on to verse 20. It says, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So here we've seen in the Bible, great faith, little faith. Full of faith, which means you can also be void of faith. But then we also see here, you can have weak faith and you can have strong faith. And the Bible here points out with someone that had strong faith, he got another miracle, didn't he? Just like the centurion, another miracle. But when Peter on the water, little faith, what happens? Sink, 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 sink. And God's there the whole time. Now let me just mention the rest here, and you can just write this down if you want to. But in James 2 and verse 5, it talks about rich faith. And that means to be abounding with it. If you're rich in finances, you're what? Abounding in money. It talks about rich faith. In verse 22, it talks about perfect faith. Well, if you can have rich faith, you can also have poor faith. If you can have perfect faith, guess what? You can also have imperfect faith. It's true. 1 Timothy 1:5 talks about unfeigned faith or sincere faith. Verse 19 talks about shipwrecked faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4 talks about overcoming faith. There's different levels and measures of faith. Praise God. Faith can be measured. Now, if faith can be measured, you know, whenever I watch people on sports and stuff, I found that most of them in the pros don't look like me. Most of them do not have my height, fortunately for them, right? And you know, every time, you know, you get measured, or I want to fight that number. That thing needs to grow. Why is it, you know, my driver's license says, I think it says 5'6". Might be stretching the truth a little bit. I'm not sure. I think maybe I had high heels on that day or something. But I want that to grow, but it's never going to grow. I'm not going to get taller. But you know what can grow? Our faith can grow. Amen. Our faith can grow. Go with me real quick to 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. I'll tell you what, next, this obviously, I thought I was preaching next week's message tonight, but the Lord has to do this first. I'm so thrilled for next week's sermon. It's going to be such a fun way that the Lord's having me preach that and how he wants us to go about it, because God wants us to be successful in our personal life, but he also wants us to bring it to the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand, everything should revolve around the kingdom. Most people are selfish and everything revolves around their life. But when people, remember what Jesus said? He said, they that will lose their life will find it or gain it. They that seek to gain their life are the ones that are losing it. What's that go along with? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and then things are added. But let's be honest, most Christians don't live that way. the kingdom of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God is somewhere far off in the corner, not even on the radar, not even a blip on the radar screen. But what is on the radar screen? My children, my money, my body, my stuff, everything else is like to the forefront, and it's backwards. And it's the same thing with faith. We've learned in this Word of Faith camp that, wow, we can change the natural. Through our faith, God can move, and we don't have to experience. If we're sick, we don't have to be. If we're broke, we don't have to be. If you put all these promises of God that He says we can have, and when they're being challenged, faith can turn it back around towards the promise. But God didn't give us faith, the measure of faith, or teach us how to grow our faith just so we can line our pockets, just so our bodies are fine and our families and we're just living. What about the kingdom? What about the plan of God? What about people dying and going to hell? What about the purpose that God has on the earth for us? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're trying to build you up to be more kingdom-minded as well. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, in verse 3, notice this. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it's right, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Does anybody have some room for their faith to grow? Faith can grow. Why? Because faith is measurable. Now here's the cool thing about it. God was so kind in Romans 12:3 to deal us a measure of faith. Now what you do with that measure of faith, whether you want to turn that measure into great, have it be at little, have it be empty, have it be full, have it be weak, or have it be strong, is completely up to you. What you do with the measure that God has given you, what you do with the measure of what God has given you determines what happens to that faith. And I'll tell you what, that makes me happy. Because I know that God didn't just, because the tendency would be to what? Well, Pastor Mike's a pastor. He must need a lot of faith, so God's going to give him a bigger measure than me. Or Brother Hagin or Pastor Nancy Dufresne. No, no, no. Your faith can blow my faith out of the water. It's up to you, praise God. Hallelujah. It's up to us. He's already dealt it, but now it's up to us. And we want to make sure that we're not like the guy that we're going to read about next in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Now here's the thing about the guy here in Matthew 25 verse 14. God, this, I would say this, the gift of faith or the measure that God gave us, what a gift. I'm thinking about, Julie, your situation and things that you've seen. You've had some pretty amazing things turn around in your life by faith, by learning faith. And I think about that gift that when what faith can do and the things that have happened in my life, and I'm looking around the room, and most of you, you know, I don't know, some of you as long yet and been able to talk to you about some things, but a lot of you have told me some faith victories you had that without faith, it would have turned out a whole other way. Faith caused things to manifest out of nowhere. Faith turned a desert into Niagara. I mean, it just, you know what I'm talking about. Faith can turn things and change things. And so when God deals us a measure, and we see in the Bible that there's great faith, there's little faith, there's weak faith, there's strong faith, there's perfect faith, there's rich faith, there's full faith, and we know that opposite can be true of all those other things, we better do the right thing with it, with that measure of faith. But we don't want to be like the guy we're going to read about, Matthew 25 and verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them unto his goods." So this guy delivers some goods to his servants. Well, God has delivered, Romans 12:3, some goods to his kids. Praise God. The same thing with the servant. It says the kingdom of heaven is like this. So we're looking at a natural example, but God says it parallels how the kingdom works. He says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to several his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained 5 more. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Notice this. He did something with what the Lord had given him, and it caused him to increase into other things. He also, verse 22, that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2. Behold, I've gathered 2 other talents. He said, and his Lord said to him, verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There again. Delivered something, did something with it, caused him to enter into more. But the Bible says he received 1 talent, verse 24, came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, here is that that is yours, basically giving it back to you. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought of therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For everyone that has shall be given, and he that has abundance, but him that has not shall be taken away, even that which he has. Not happy with him. Here the Bible's talking about how God or the Lord gave them something to do something with. And the Lord, what? Since it's like the kingdom of heaven, he expected what I gave you, I expect you to increase in that which I gave you so I can then move you into greater things. Remember the servant said, you've been faithful. You got 5 back. You got 2 back. He said, now you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to be able to promote you into more things. If faith is a measure, and we see in the Bible that people with little faith didn't overcome, and people with great faith did, where do you think God wants us to take that measure to? You know, remember, I'm going to have to bust out the song again, the mountain climber, Price is Right. He wants you to take that measure of faith, climb up to the top of the mountain with that, and raise that thing up, praise God. But how many people, they get a measure of faith, they get a measure of a life-changing, powerful, spiritual force, and don't do anything with it. And they go through life, and they blame God, just like this guy was blaming his master. You're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. He's blaming him for the problem. No, you were the issue, sir. And so many people go through life. I know because I've pastored them. I've had family members. They love the Lord. They're sweet and sincere. They never see a miracle. They never get out of their problems. They spin their wheels. Their rut gets deeper and deeper. Life is chaos, torment, all the things that are not abundant life. And they wonder where God is. They blame God. They think they're just not worthy. And the whole time they took what God had given them that was meant to change their world and didn't do anything with it. Well, we can't have that. It's a shame. You know, I was thinking about sports. You know, again, there's a reason why the majority of people in basketball and baseball and in these professional sports don't look like me. It's just a very rare thing, you know. It happens at times, but it is a rare thing. But I used to play baseball growing up, and I played with a kid who some of the most natural ability I've ever seen in my life. I mean, run and throw with ease. It was like just watching a gazelle. It was like just came so simple. Like everything for me, it was a struggle, you know. I had to really, really work. There's just natural things. And this person had this talent given to them, and they were lazy, and they got offended, and you couldn't tell them anything. They weren't correctable, and they did nothing with what they were given, and they went nowhere with what they were given. And I'll just tell you what, had I been given the size, the natural ability, plus with my work ethic, Who knows where I could have gone? They could have gone. Early on, there was people talking about this person. There's no way they shouldn't make it in basketball, and there's no way they shouldn't make it in baseball as well, but they just squandered what was given to them. You do realize that which God has given you has the potential to turn everything around in your life. Oh, we see it. The woman with the issue of blood. Her life's going one way, and daughter, your faith has made you go another way. Blind Bartimaeus going one way, and your faith did this complete different way. Woo-hoo-wee! Glory to God. It's the truth, praise the Lord. So we can't be like this guy. Take this. So what are we doing these next 2 weeks starting tonight? We're going to look, how do we grow our measure of faith? There's only two ways it can happen, and we're going to look at it. And the two ways are, and I'm going to mention what number two is and what we'll talk about next week. Number one is to feed it. Number two is to exercise it. If you don't feed your faith and don't exercise your faith, it'll never grow. It'll stay small. It'll stay a measure where you aren't getting much done. Now, I said next week, I am so fired up and excited for next week's sermon because it's going to be a fun sermon in the sense of the way the Lord has me. I'll say it this way. It'll motivate you to want to exercise your faith. And it'll give you an easy, practical way to say, okay, I can do that. Because when it comes, and I'll just mention this, not try to preach next week's sermon. When it comes to exercising faith, so many times we look at other people's faith accomplishments or faith victories, and we think, I'm not there. Well, you know what? I could go to the gym and see Mr. Muscle Man walk through and get on the same, bench press, and the weights on his bar are going to look different than the weights on my bar. But you know what? He didn't start with all those plates on there. There was a starting point, but he had to start. And if we want to grow our faith, we have to start. So that's next week. Praise God. That's your preview for next week. Praise God. But anyways, Romans 10:17. Oh, we know all this, Pastor Mike. Good. Well, then you can start doing it more. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh, shows up, is there, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't separate the Word from faith. No Word, no faith. Amen? It's the truth. You can't separate them. Glory to God. Think about Peter. What caused Peter to walk on the water? What gave him the faith? Because before he sank, he walked on the water. What caused him to walk on the water and have that kind of faith to step out of a boat as a professional fisherman onto waves? I don't care if it's crystal clear, glass clear, calm on the water. But the Bible says the wind was boisterous in this. It wasn't a glass lake. What caused a man who knew you're supposed to stay in the boat to get out of the boat? The Word. What did Jesus say? The Word. He said, come on, Peter. Peter heard that Word. And what happened? Faith rose up in him, stepped out and walked on the water. But then what did the Bible say? When he went away from the Word, put his eyes on the wind and the waves and the circumstance, he sank. You can't depart from the Word. Praise God. The Word, the Word, the Word. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Praise his name forevermore. If the Word's not big in your life, faith won't be great in your life. You know, think about over there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. What does the Bible say? For this book of the law, the Word of God, shall not depart from your midst, right? But you shall, therefore, meditate therein day and night to observe, to do according to all that is written. For then shall your way be made prosperous, and you'll have good success. What's he saying? The prosperity and the good success are linked to the meditation or the feeding on the Word. Why? Because when you feed on the Word, something grows. Yeah. You know what you're, do you remember Little Shop of Horrors? Feed me, Seymour. You don't remember? The little plant, what is it, a Venus flytrap? Is that what they were? But this thing didn't want just flies. This thing wanted blood, right? And every time you'd feed that thing the blood, what would happen? It would start to grow and grow and grow. It's the same thing with your faith. Your faith needs the word. That measure of faith wanting to grow is saying, feed me, and then fill in your blank for your name. Not Seymour. Unless you're Seymour, then feed me Seymour. But your faith, that measure of faith is saying, feed me. Feed me. I want to grow. Feed me. Feed me. I'm not going to grow to you. Feed me. And Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered, said, man shall not live by bread alone. That word live does not mean heartbeat live. It means abundant life live. Heaven on earth live. You say, how do you know? Because it says, but they will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There are people on planet earth that are living with a heartbeat and they are separated from the word of God. It's not talking about heartbeat living. It's talking about abundant life, heaven on earth, overcoming, victory living. He said, man can't do it by natural means alone, but they can accomplish this by the word of God. Notice he likens, God always uses natural illustrations to bring forth, natural illustrations to bring forth spiritual truths. He likens bread or natural food to what that does to a regular natural body, to what spiritually the word, which is spirit food, can do to your spirit man. Now we know this, that to live an abundant life comes through the operation of faith. And he says you can't live that way. You can't live that way, heaven on earth, overcoming, victory, reigning in life, as Romans 5:17 tells us. You can't live that way unless you're feeding on the word. Well, doesn't this line up with Joshua 1:8? Day and night? Doesn't this line up with Psalms chapter 1 that says, meditate in the word day and night? What's he saying? Feed on the word day and night? Then you'll become like the rivers or the trees planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever you do will prosper. Doesn't it go along with Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22? It says, attend to the word, incline thine ears to its sayings, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it was F.F. Bosworth that said, we give our natural man three hot meals a day, and we give our spirit, most people give their spirit man one cold snack a week. Now, flip it around. We always mention this. What would happen to us if we all said, okay, let's eat a big meal right now after church. Let's get together and eat our pizza 6 feet apart. You don't want to get too close, you know. I got to be careful. I can get a little bit sarcastic and snippy with all this, you know. I just got to be kind and follow what Jesus is saying. But anyways, I can't preach from my personality. You don't want that. You want me to preach from my heart. But anyways, let's say we ate a big meal and we said, you know what? Let's not eat again till next Saturday night after church. Oh, it's going to be a long week. Oh, you're going to get headaches. You're going to get dizzy. You're going to get weak, right? But yet, when it comes to faith and we're up against things, because think about it. When a person goes into a bodybuilding competition or a football player, you think about linemen. And linemen have to move big things. Other linemen, 300, 350, you know, upwards towards 400 pounds. They're moving them. They want to move them this way. So they have to show up strong, don't they? Well, you see a lot of these linemen that get out of professional football, and a lot of them trim right up and get a lot smaller. Well, it's because they have no reason to keep eating as much as they're eating to get the calories they need, to get the strength, to build up, to be able to move another human being that big. But my point is this. When they go into those games, if they have a game, say they had a bye and they have 2 weeks off, and they're getting ready to go against a team, that lineman did not fast for 2 weeks. That lineman stuffed his face. I'm telling you, how do you know? Go look up what Joe Thomas, a lineman for the Browns, used to eat every single day. One of the best linemen, Hall of Famer, Pro Bowler, used to eat every single day. He wasn't just eating one stick of carrot. Why? He's got to be strong. He's got to have the energy to move it. And here we have, in our way in life, sickness, disease, poverty, fear, anxiety, things with our kids, things with our families, and they're big, and they're strong, and they look rugged and immovable, and yet we sit there and we think, why isn't it moving? Because remember, your mountain moves on your faith, not if God can do it. Why isn't it moving? Why am I weak? Why is this overcoming me? Why is this overtaking me? Have you starved the man that you're to live from? You'll not have strong faith. Just like Joe Thomas wouldn't be strong if he fasted for 2 weeks and faced another man that's 350 pounds that ate and worked out. But yet we don't understand. First of all, it comes down to having a revelation that if you don't do the right thing, and I'll say it again, I've said it for years now, how your life turns out has more to do with you than it does God. Whether your measure of faith is little and you sink or great is not up to Him. He said, here's your measure. We saw the guy with the 5 did something. The guy with the 2 did something. But the guy with the 1, he could have done something. But he didn't, and it stayed the same. Woo-hoo. Feed on the Word. Go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. We're almost done. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Feed on the Word. Praise God. Feed on the Word. Praise God. Now, I do need to say this because the devil loves to tell people things. And I'll tell you what, the devil has hoodwinked a whole lot of people. Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to what? Perfect or equip or fully furnish the saints. Did he not say that? He did. Pastors included there. But notice in Matthew 9, 35 and 36, the only one out of the 5 that Jesus said, if you don't have in your life, you'll be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, is the pastor. Now, why am I saying this? Because so many people in the 2020 American body of Christ has no revelation or value placed on the local church and having a pastor. And when we hear this, we think, okay, feed on the Word. I can do that at home, and you can. I can do this with my Bible. I can do this with tapes and put it on. You can. But remember what Jesus told Peter in John chapter 21. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, you know I do. Second time, he says, okay, feed my lambs. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. Third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, come on. Why are you asking me this? You know I love you. Jesus said, okay, feed my sheep. 3 times. Now think about this. If sheep, Bible likens God's children to sheep. It's not a derogatory term. If sheep could feed themselves, and that's the only feed they needed to get was themselves, why did Jesus stress to Peter, make sure you feed the sheep? Because there's a transaction or a relationship. When Jesus says, people without a shepherd, and what's a true shepherd do? Feed the sheep. That's what a true shepherd does, feeds the sheep. He says, if you don't have this in place in your life, this is what your life's going to look like. Scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless. So that's what life's going to be like if you don't have this. There's certain things that a pastor can get you into and get you out of that you can't do on your own. I am living proof of that. I could tell testimony after testimony. We could be here till midnight tonight, and I'm not kidding you. Of people in the last 10 years that have listened to the Word and done this, and their world has changed. You're one of them. Y'all back there, one of them. You out there, one of them. It's true. that have listened to it. Grammy Tammy, you're one of them? You're one of those crazy ones? Believe the Bible? I know y'all are. It's not what I'm... But I'm just saying personal things that I've known. And I could tell you testimonies of those people that, wow, I'm going to do the Word. And their life went from dejected and harassed into blessing. And then I could tell you the same people I've told the same thing to, and they did not heed that. In fact, I had testimony come to me not too long ago about someone that removed themselves. Just broke my heart. Their life went from good to bad real fast. It's quiet in here, but that's okay. It's the truth. 1 Peter 2 in verse 2. Hallelujah. So you can't just say, well, okay, I'll feed on the Word. I'll just stay home and feed on the Word. No, because then you're still violating what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9. You know, sometime I wish that we could get someone like Pastor Nancy Dufresne to come in, because here's what happens. People get into a familiar see with their pastor. Oh, that's just Pastor Mike. We see him every week. I'm preaching the same gospel she's preaching, that Brother Hagin preached, that Paul preached, that Jesus preached. Same exact gospel. And I know, well, that's just what he says. No. Get visitations from God, from Pastor Nancy, because we respect Pastor Nancy Dufresne. We hold her in a high standard. We'll listen to what she says. I'm not belittling, I'm just saying as a whole in the body of Christ. People got familiar with Jesus that were around him. Be careful not to get so familiar with your pastor that just, oh, that's just Pastor Mike. We see him, he's a jokester. Be careful with that kind of stuff. But anyways, feeding on the Word, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies. Man, I'll tell you what, the one thing that made me think, why in the world did we have a child, was when Caleb opened his mouth the first time in the hospital room. The shrieking shrill that came out of that boy. I'd never heard anything like it. And nothing. And he kept going, man, he had some pipes. And that kid now, there's a song we like to sing, him and I, by John Denver. It's called Calypso, talking about Jacques Cousteau's ship. And in that song, John Denver yodels. And Caleb can hit it note for note. The kid's got a range of highness that came from birth when he was screaming his brains off in the hospital. And when I was taking care of him for those 2 years, I mean, Abby was nothing like that. Now things have changed, and Abby's a little, got her things now, and Caleb's just kind of more, you know, we've talked about this before, but back then it was like, oh my gosh, don't cry, please don't cry. But the worst cries were when he was hungry. And the only thing that would satisfy him wasn't a blanket. Wasn't bouncing up and down, making little googly-goggly noises and faces at him and stuffed animals and toys. The only thing that that kid wanted was milk. And the Bible says, like newborn babies, we should desire the Word as much as a baby desires milk. What's that mean? Can't live without it. Can't live without it. And I'm going to kick and scream until I get it. It says that you may grow. There it is, growing. Grow thereby. Praise God. Now, I'll just close with this. So number one, the way we're going to grow our faith, we're going to feed it. Number two, we're going to look at next week, is we're going to exercise. Because if you just sit around and eat all the time and don't exercise, you get flabby. Eating and exercise turns it into muscle. Right? Now, think about this. This is important. Not all churches and ministers are created equal. What do I mean by that? Well, you can, when it talks about, you look at a natural body, how do you strengthen your natural body? One way is you do what? You feed it. Well, what's the process of feeding? Something going in your mouth. But just because that's the process doesn't mean that you can put anything in your mouth, chew it up and swallow it, and expect good growth. You know, there's things that mice and rats eat that while they're eating it, they're happy. It's called poison. And they gobble it down and fill their bellies. And they ate. You think they're going to be strong? They ate. No, they ate the wrong thing. What am I telling you? Just because it's a church and just because there's a minister from the pulpit. Listen, more people are more interested in how the worship sounds, how the music makes them feel, what they have for my children than the word. Be careful not to eat poison. Well, they're a minister. Well, they love people. Well, they have a good church. I can just gobble down whatever they say. Not if it's not the Bible, you can't. You'll struggle and it'll hurt you. So just understand that just because it's a preacher, I'll just say it this way. All the time I have people tell me, I just keep my mouth shut unless the Holy Ghost tells me something different or if they ask me my opinion. I've learned it's better to keep my mouth shut at times and by the leading of the Holy Ghost. People tell me, oh yes, I've been listening to so-and-so on the radio. And I want to say, I don't want to hear this. You're going to put me in a position that you're not going to like. Because while they're a Christian radio, so what? Oh, I've been putting so-and-so on the TV. Some of the people that they listen to, I want to be like, you do realize some of the stuff they're feeding is nothing more than rat poison for your spirits. I don't care if they love the Lord. I don't care if they have Reverend in front of their name. I don't care if they have a humongous church. What does the word say about some of this stuff? Amen. And you know, we have people in this county. I've mentioned it. I'll mention it again. We have people in this county that are sitting in places like you are, hearing someone from up here preach to them. And what are they preaching? Rat poison. God doesn't want you healed. You have to wait until you get to heaven to get healed. That tongues business is for the devil. That tongues business is not for today. Miracle signs and wonders have passed away. They're not in anymore. You don't have to tithe. Do whatever you're comfortable with your money. Grace is abounding. Live however you want. Grace will cover it. I'm telling you. People on TV and people in our own county are preaching this kind of stuff. And because people in the seats are thinking, it's a church. They have the title. They look the part. They're baby birds. We have baby birds on the side of our barn at home. We like to watch them from a distance. And they're just sitting there. And mama bird flies in and drops it in their mouth, and they don't even look what it is. They don't care what it is. They just gulp, gulp, because they trust mama bird. Right? What if mama bird came a little firecracker? You know what baby bird would do? Gulp. That's a sight. Sorry, Patty. Patty just got that visualization. Maybe she used something different. But you understand what I'm saying. They're going to gobble that down. Be careful. Be careful. Not to eat poison in the name of Christianity. Amen. So we're going to keep going. Next week we'll look at the second way is to exercise. It's going to be a fun service to help get you started where you need to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we know we have been given a measure. What we do with that measure is up to us. So Father, I pray that each and every person here would do what you said to do, and they'd start feeding on the word, and their faith would grow and grow and grow. Just like when you feed naturally in your body, you grow and you grow and you grow. That's how a baby grows, by being fed. That's how our bodies grow and stay strong. We're fed. So I pray that people would feed on the word. Not be casual like it's a cold snack. Well, my Saturday night snack has come and gone. Now I'm not going to feed again until next Saturday. No. We'll be way too weak to overcome that which we need to. Father, I pray that people would get hungry for the word, hungry for what you have for us, what you're delivering to us in the form of the word of God, supernatural spirit food to our bodies, our spirit man, our faith life, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that everyone in this room is born again. They've accepted Jesus. But if by chance somebody that's on live stream right now, you've never received Jesus, the way we go to heaven is by Jesus. It's not by our good works. It's not by church attendance. You say, well, I've been kind of a bad person. Your bad works can't keep you out. If you'll receive Jesus, the Bible says in John 14:6, no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said in John 3:16, if you believe on me, Romans 10:13, call on my name, you'll be saved. God wants to save you. He loves you so much. He wants you to have heaven as your home, your destination. But he wants to be a father to you here on the earth and bless you. Well, he did his part. Now you have to do your part. If you believe in Jesus, you say in your heart of hearts, I do believe he's real. You're qualified. The only thing you have left to do is to receive him. So if you're home and you're watching this, you say, I've never received Jesus. I've gone through it religiously, you know, but I've never made him my Lord and Savior. Then don't let another moment pass you by. You don't have to join this church. You never have to show up. I never have to see your face. But if you want to receive Jesus, you just cry out to him. And the way you do that, you say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I might not understand everything, but I believe in you. I believe you died and you rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. And if you'll pray that, praise God, he'll do his part. Send me an email, give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a good church so you can start learning these things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can look up here. Let's go ahead and let's take up our offering tonight. Again, I'm not going to preach a second sermon, but I just want to talk to you about a principle. Of course, tonight's our building fund. We thank you for being faithful to sow into that and to help us do what God's called us to do. But I want to just mention a couple things here. We're not even going to look at a scripture because I'm going to read some things. One principle that I see so much dealing with people as a pastor is I've got to watch people that have started to do the word financially when it comes to tithes and offerings. And I've watched it not only change their financial life, but the tithe and the offering is obedience to God. Obedience to God is connected to every area of our life. It's connected to our children. It's connected to our health. It's connected to favor. It's connected to well-being. There's all sorts of things that being faithful with our money. In fact, what did Jesus say? If you can't be faithful with money, you can never walk into the true riches. Yeah. It takes money to get into some things. Faithfulness with money, I should say. You don't pay for it, but being faithful with money. And I've seen people struggle with it because I've seen people get into fear because their bills tell them what to do, their checkbook tells them what to do, their own greediness and selfishness tells them what to do, their hobbies dictate what they do with their money. And I've watched people not walk into what God has said to do. But if you'll have this principle down, because what I found, and I'm not calling you selfish, but the majority of people on planet Earth seem to be selfish. And when it matters to the person, people are more motivated to do something when they get a blessing from it. Well, I want to just tell you this. If you'll have this principle down, it will cause you, there's been times I've given before and I feel I'm just being a selfish giver because I know the truth of the principle that I'm going to tell you. And the principle is this: you can't outgive God. And I've learned that. And so when I've sown before, I sow week after week, but there's been times where I've sown very sacrificially that made my eyeballs spin and made me think, oh my goodness, you know, my flesh and my mind were fighting it. But I've sown it and in my heart known, I can't outgive God. This is coming back. This is going to be a blessing to me. I almost feel selfish that I even gave it because I know the results. Praise God. Let me just read a few verses to you. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says what? Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. So then your barns will be filled with plenty. And then it talks about your vats, presses bursting forth. What's that talking about? Increase. What's he saying? Honor me with finances and watch me increase you. What's he saying? You can't outgive me. What's he saying in Malachi 3 and verse 10? Tithe. And see what I'll do. I'll open the windows of heaven while you're tithing, and I will pour out a blessing onto you so there's not enough room to receive it. What's that? You can't outgive God. Amen. So people struggle with the tithe. They don't understand. No, the tithe is going to get you into more. What does Luke 6:38 say? Give. That's scary, right? But then the rest of the verse says, it'll be given back to you. What? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it come back to you? What's that saying? You can't outgive God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Let me read this to you. Now in verses 6 to 10, it talks about giving to an offering. He says, I want you to know a fact here. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply. This is seed. He says, I will multiply your seed sown. What's he saying? You can't outgive me, child. Praise God. If people would get that revelation that they can't outgive them, it takes away the fear of tithing, takes away the fear of giving, and you'll become generous real fast, which will bless your life. Amen. Let's give tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into this church. We call the needs of Family Church Allegheny met. We say all the money, all the properties, all the buildings, all the equipment, and all the people that we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for more than enough. We thank you, Lord, as we're faithful, it comes back to us. The windows of heaven are open. It comes overflowing. It gets multiplied in Jesus' name. Our barns are filled with plenty. We thank you for increase, and we thank you, Father, for proving to us time and again that we can't outgive you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we dismiss, Jeff's going to dismiss you going towards the back. Julie, you want to go out there for the kids, for the prizes. Kids, we have prizes for you to bless you. Don't forget, we don't have Tuesday this week. Pick it up again August 4th and 11th. But before we go tonight, I think we ought to just praise the Lord for a second. Let's worship him together. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Precious, precious things we've received tonight. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Praise God.
You began.